Hello, welcome back to Rift Overcast. My name is Joe, and with me as always... Really? How did I do that? How did I do that? What the fuck?
You are listening to Rift Overcast.
Hello, welcome back to Rift Overcast. My name is Matt, and with me as always is my co-host, Joe.
At least you got it right this time.
This past weekend was extremely busy for us. Joe had a wedding to attend to, and I made a trip with my girlfriend to Joe's hometown, actually, New York City. We went to see ABC's show, The Chew, and as such, we were unable to check out Summerfest content that was on the PTS this weekend, but we'll be sure to get on there and get some information on Summerfest as soon as we can, as soon as it becomes available. We'll keep our eye out on that. We'll let you know what we find as soon as we get a chance to test stuff. In all the chaos getting ready for my trip to New York, I had forgot to put up a new poll this past week, so we're just going to go roll right on to the discussion. The newest set of the PTS patch notes for 1.9 is up. Of these patch notes, there were a few key things that kind of stuck out for me and Joe. First of them, was the PvP weapons now have hit and focus, which I believe they actually added a little while ago. This isn't the brand new, but the brand new change is that the hit and focus on the PvP weapons was just recently reduced, so that it's not in line with the highest tier of hit that's on the highest tier of raid weapons, PvE weapons. So I'm guessing that this is an attempt to discourage usage of these weapons for PvE. We all remember, you know, when you would grind to the old rank 8 or the old rank 6, just specifically for the weapons because they were better than anything else you'd get their hands on. And obviously Tryon wants to avoid that ever happening again. Joe, I don't understand why they don't just create like a PvP-only stat that's a hit focus equivalent like they did with Vengeance.
Well, I mean, I think this, you know, all circles back to the same argument about whether or not this should be like PvP only gear and MMOs in general, you know, the whole stat, whether it's resilience and whatnot and games. And if you put another stat on there, that just deters even more people who are far behind to have to grind through and get you know, catch up to yet another stat. With one, it's already pretty daunting. So I really don't see why they'd want to put a second stat for you to have to essentially climb the ladder up.
I don't understand. I don't understand what you're climbing. Like what would you have to? I mean, it would be pretty simple because it would already be on all your gear. You know, all your PvP gear. So if you're PvPing and you need hit, I mean, I'm not saying like they have to disable hit and focus from PvE gear. So this way you could use your PvE gear to help you out with hit and PvP. But if there was a PvP only hit focus equivalent that stacked with, you know, the normal hit focus from PvE gear, then that would deter you from using PvP gear in PvE straight up without hindering you in PvP.
Well, it depends, like you just said, how they make focus and hit translate from PvE gear to PvP. If they do what you said, it won't be that bad. The whole thing you're climbing is people are it's so daunting right now. If you're a fresh, you know, 50 and you got some pretty decent PvE gear and you want to climb and you queue, and the bolstering system, you know, isn't quite what it should be, honestly, though they are changing that some 1.9. So you're at such a disadvantage because you require this certain stat. You're gonna add another stat that people have to gain. But like you said, if they make it so that hit and focus, you know, work exactly how they do in PvP as they do PvE, on top of adding a, you know, a PvP only stat, that I'll be probably fine with that. But I don't know. I mean, what's really the harm in just reducing the hit on them? Is that really like that, you know, detrimental to PvP?
It depends how much you need, because I mean the real trick is, right, is that hit in PvP, and I haven't been able to find anything for exactly what like the ratio of it is, like for countering other stats, but it's supposedly supposed to counter avoidance, like block, dodge, parry, for example, for hit, or I'm guessing it would be resistance for focus in PvP. So it acts as kind of like if you're familiar with, you know, World of Warcraft had these kinds of stats, spell penetration, like armor penetration. It's the same kind of, you know, the same kind of concept here. And the better your PvE gear is, right? Like, if you throw on, you know, your Infernal Dawn helmet and your Infernal Dawn gloves or something, and an Infernal Dawn shield, and then you use a PvP sword or something like that as, like, a warrior, for example, then, you know, you're going to have, like, a lot better, you know, block and a lot better avoidances, so the hit kind of has to go up at the same rate, you know what I mean, that your avoidance and your defensive stats are going up on, whether it be, you know, your PvP gear or your PvE gear.
If they did that, then they'd probably have to attach hit to the bolstering system.
That's actually what I was just thinking, was the bolstering system raises your vengeance and your valor levels, so if you created, I don't know, what you would call the stat, we'll just call it PvP hit. If bolstering raised your PvP hit, then you'd have plenty of time, you know, because you're going to be bolstered to, I believe, rank 36 in 1.9. So if you're under rank 36, it's going to bring you up to that.
They say in the notes the minimum is 36. It doesn't say what the maximum is. It makes you curious if that just worded badly, which, let's be honest, the Transistor isn't the first time. So I wonder how it actually works.
It could just be because the ranks are going up to 50, right? Which I'm assuming that's why they're raising it. They're not raising the bolstering system because they don't feel like the bolstering isn't powerful enough. They're raising it simply because everybody's going to be ranked 50. Probably not too soon, you know, especially the hardcore PvPers, not too soon after 1.9 comes out, everybody's going to be 50. So if you're bolstered to rank 12, that's not going to do you any good at all. If you're bolstered to rank 25, it's not going to do you any good at all. Rank 50 is going to mop the floor with you, and like Kalendros and Mythplays were saying in the last episode, even a rank 36 is going to get the floor mopped with them by a rank 50. But it could be that if, you know, everybody in your match, in your Warfront match or whatever, is rank 50, then maybe it'll bolster you to like 42 or something like that. Not really sure, but let's just say that it's going to be 36. I mean, I think that'll be good enough anyways. You've got until like rank 35 to get, you know, to get a bunch of hit stuff from the PvP things. It's plenty of time.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, if you attach it to bolstering, though I think what you said before, that they're increasing the bolstering because of the increase in maximum rank as opposed to them thinking their problem is the source of the entire problem. They have to understand that that's the problem. Bolstering has to be increased regardless of the rank, you know, the maximum rank being increased.
It's a sensitive thing, though, you know, because you don't want to be able to bolster somebody up to, like, a rank 50 or anything, because then what's the point of even getting the rank 50? You're going to be bolstered to 50 no matter what you're wearing.
Well, that's exactly what me and you have been talking about, like, pretty much ad nauseum off the air, you know, on and off for the past few weeks, is that they have to add some sort of cosmetic gear to this game. And, you know, Guild Wars is trying to introduce that they want to get rid of the gear treadmill, that is, you know, the carrot on the stick thing with gear, whether it's PvP or PvE. I probably don't want it to the extent that Guild Wars is doing. Guild Wars, rather. I just combined Gears of War and Guild Wars.
But anyway, Gear Wars.
But I definitely don't want it to that extent, but I do think that, especially since there's already costume pieces in this game, if they would just, you know, release a huge, like, myriad and variety of gear like that, and then possibly make a PvP suit that was mainly or purely cosmetic, I really don't think people would mind that much. The whole point is that you look like you're rank 50, not that you actually DPS or, you know, damage like that. The bolstering system will compensate for that.
Well, you know that I'm all for costume pieces, but I don't think that costume pieces is going to be enough motivation to hit rank 50. I'm not going to do that horrible prestige grind just so that I can have good looking gear. Like, that's, you know, that's just not why it's there. That's not why the prestige ranks are there. That's not why the gear tiers are there for PvP stuff. Then there needs to be something else. You know, there needs to be a power increase. There needs to be character progression.
Well, the progression will be there. It's just that it's, you know, it's minimal. I just think that's the way MMOs are going to start going eventually, because they keep running into the same problem that we're dealing with at this very moment in Rift, especially in PvP, that you either give people who are trying to level up, especially in PvP rankings like Rift has, basically an equal chance with the bolstering system, therefore obsoleting the current max level or max rank players, or don't, and you basically discourage anyone and everyone who wants to start from scratch on a fresh character.
I think the bolstering is probably fine. I'll be perfectly honest. I really think it is. I don't think that bolstering is the answer to it. I think that it can help, but I think that's it's just the sheer time investment that it takes to catch up is that's where the biggest discouragement is. I don't think that, you know, people getting demolished. I mean, like I was telling you actually before the show, right, on my warrior, who is rank 9 now. I've started to do the prestige grind with him and started to work on his gear. He's got the entire first set, first tier of PvP gear, and he has the final tier of PvP shoulders. So yeah, I guess I did kind of do the grind just for the look, because I just wanted to look at the PvP shoulders. But I'm going to probably do that for each piece, to be honest, because I'm probably just going to grind out each individual piece and just, you know, instead of doing like the entire first tier and then getting the entire second tier and then getting the entire third, I'm just going to go piece by piece straight up to the third tier, you know what I mean? But anyway, yeah. So what I'm getting at, he's rank 9 now. He was like rank 4. I did like 5 ranks in a night. Not very difficult to do, you know, if you have the time to just sit down and grind it out and whatever, and especially if you were doing good. I also did it over a Codex Warfront weekend, which made it that much easier as well. And I mean, I was plowing through people, you know what I mean? I think it's a lot to do with your spec. It's a lot to do with knowing enemy specs. It's a lot to do with knowing what you're up against and how to deal with it, you know what I mean? And just kind of having your spec right. And I'm not saying that that's all of it, and I'm not saying that there isn't an issue with, you know, the emphasis on gear and stats, because there is. But my point being that even out of low ranks, you can still contribute to the team, you can still have fun, you can still do good. So it's just a matter of how long are you stuck with the disadvantage that you have, you know what I mean? You can overcome it for so long and have fun, you know, doing it, whatever, still, as long as you know that, you know, it's going to be over soon, that your character is going to grow. And the fact is in PvP, characters are growing very slow, like brand new ones.
I think people's biggest fear, though, is that with the new bolstering, so, you know, also comes to 10 more ranks, and the disparity might be even wider from a fresh player to the 50 than it was before, even with the bolstering. I wouldn't say it's the root problem, or it might be a, you know, it might not solve everything, but we might have talked about it way back, like one of our very original episodes. You had told me, actually, when I first started playing this game, that the biggest problem with PvP in this game is the small health pools and how fast people are basically killed. And I think that if they would increase, you know, both on the gear and in the bolstering system, how much health people had, and made, like, you know, the, I don't want to call it an encounter, but, you know, how long it basically takes to burn someone down, I think that would actually solve quite a lot of problems. You know, that remains to be seen, because China doesn't seem to, I don't want to say they don't want to do it, but they definitely haven't shown any efforts to increase health pools in PvP. So, you know, if they would actually try that, obviously it would give a better idea of, you know, how well it would work and how successful it would be. But until that, you know, we're just going to have to continue guessing. But I do think, you know, from that, from my perspective, that would definitely work.
Well, health pools are definitely, that is true. It's definitely an issue. Fights don't last very long. You know, that's why, even with only having to suffer 2 crowd control effects and then you become immune, like, even with that going by too fast, a single crowd control effect that stuns you for 2 seconds can be plenty enough time to kill somebody, and that's just way too fast. And that's why I think a lot of players, especially newer ones, get very frustrated, because it's a lot easier to burst down, you know, a rank 9 in 2 seconds than it is to burst down a rank 50 or a rank 40 in 2 seconds. So it feels like, you know, you're CC'd forever, when in fact the CC duration is actually very short. It's just that the damage is very high and the health pools are very low. It definitely needs some work. I think that it's awesome that they're putting hit on stuff, because that's currently, I think, the biggest issue, like the most prominent for PvPers is the hit issue. Is, you know, your dodge and your block and stuff. It's either you can't hit a player because you don't have enough, you know, you don't have enough hit, or you don't have enough focus, and their resistance is just too high, or their block and dodge is just too high, and you just can't do anything against them. Or it's useless. So I don't know. There's a lot of toying around. China obviously has their work cut out for them. I hope that they get it done in time for the expansion, which we'll get to later. But let's talk about the instant adventure, because they changed the UI for it, right? This is on the PTS as part of the 1.9 patch notes.
Yeah, it's the second. It was pretty small. The first set was pretty ginormous.
You can now queue for the IA for the current zone that you're in if your character meets the IA requirement for that zone. And all other zones you can queue for randomly. So basically, this is sounding like at level 50, we can queue up for like Shimmer Sand, Stillmore, and Ember Isle individually, like we're used to doing right now. But we will be able to do only Silverwood, Gloamwood, and any of the newer low-level zones through a random instant adventure queue, and then it'll automatically mentor us down, correct?
That is from what it sounds like from the wording. You know, when we try out Simmerfest, we'll definitely have to confirm this, but I sure hope it's that way, because that would, you know, remove quite a lot of the concerns that we stressed in the last couple episodes about, you know, spreading the population too thin with instant adventure.
What do you think about maybe making all instant adventures random? Like, what if you couldn't queue for Ember Isle specifically? What if you just queued for instant adventure period and it threw you wherever?
I don't know. Maybe they could do, like, Embryo, and then the old world was all random. I wouldn't mind that. I really, like, wouldn't, because what am I, like, caring if I'm going to Shimmer Sand or Silverwood? I think the only time you really care is if you're doing Embryo or, you know, the original continent. I think that it would make sense, by the way, if they make a random instant adventure, that they attach something to it, you know, how there is daily expert dungeons, like whether you get an extra crystal from an extra planarite, whatever the case may be, that would actually make a lot of sense.
I don't know how I feel about the random thing. I think it definitely, the randomness of it, being able to queue for a random instant adventure, needs to be kept to everything that's like Iron Pine and earlier, or maybe even lumping Iron Pine with Shimmer Sand still more. I don't know how I feel about Iron Pine, because there's a very wide level range of mobs and areas in Iron Pine. It's everywhere from, I think Iron Pine goes like 40, level 41, 42 mobs, all the way up to level 48 and 49 mobs, I think.
Yeah, it does. Well, but I mean, like I said before, are you really going to care if you hit random and you can't specifically queue for Shimmer Sand Stillmore? I mean,
that's what I was actually going to get at, was I do care, because if it puts me into another zone, like if it throws me into Gloomwood, it's going to automatically mentor me down, you know what I mean? So I might not have, you know, all of my abilities. Like, I don't want to do that. Might not always want to be mentored down to a level. What if I want to use everything at my disposal and go have fun doing Ember Isle, you know what I mean? With, like, the full power of my character, I want to be able to have that option to do that, so.
I don't know. I'm kind of just of the belief that the faster I get my daily over with, the better. And what we were talking about a couple weeks ago was that, as it stands right now, you know, you queue for Ember Isle, unless you're on absolute peak times, I get two other people. If I queue for a Shimmer Sand Stillmore, that fluctuates pretty dramatically. At very peak times, I might, and I mean, like, very rarely, might get, like, 8 or 9 people, including myself. If I queue it even, like, or even say, you know, so much slow times, kind of middle of the road, I get me and maybe 2 other people. And if this random thing, you know, kind of brings me back to how it was before, when there was, like, only Shimmer Sand Stillmore, and I pretty much get a full raid, or at the very least, half raid, pretty much guaranteed, I'll take that any day of the week, because that would make it go so much faster.
On the note of instant adventure, we actually got a comment on our YouTube. It's under episode 12, and N8Sartain1 says, "Great podcast, good to hear about new stuff and raid info. I'm a raider 3 out of 8 ID, and when I'm at work, I itch for new info, or just random banter about things to come. Love what you guys are doing, keep it up." And then he goes on to say about IA, he says, "One other thing. I do the instant adventures all the time with full raid groups in the Ember Isle." So he's getting full groups. He's not seeing like what we're seeing. So I'm curious what server he's on.
He's probably on Wolfbane.
Maybe. He says it's amazing for PA grinds, and he averages 50 levels a week, with a large majority coming from Ember Isle instant adventures and a small part coming from the daily Dungeons and Chronicles. He says, "I am on a pretty populated server though." Although we saw these smaller groups of instant adventure on the Ember Isle when we were on Deepwood as well. And Deepwood is almost as populated as, yeah, it's like number 3, right?
Wolfbane, Fae Blight, Deepwood.
So I'm really curious what server he's on. Maybe it's just his server is just more interested in instant adventure. Maybe Deepwood is so far progressed that people aren't doing instant adventures anymore. We have a lot more people that are PA capped, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, even at peak times, like, I would get on, you know, late afternoon when, like, pretty much everyone's on, you know, like, after school and whatnot, and I would get through other people. Sometimes I'd queue for both Ember Isle and Shimmer Sand Stillmore, and I'd be by myself, because there's no one doing it, period.
Well, I don't know how much better it's going to be if everything's random. I mean, I think it's definitely a good answer to keep it at least to everything, like I said, Iron Pine and earlier in levels to be a random queue. That's great. I don't think it'll work out quite as well if you included Shimmer Sand Stillmore and Ember Isle in the random queue. But we'll see what happens with that, and hopefully this week we'll actually be able to get on the PTS Joe and check out some Summerfest stuff and experiment more with, like, the instant adventure and the mentoring system, and then we can get back to you guys on that.
Yeah, like I said before, I also want to see if there's any reward for actually doing the random. It would make sense, but, you know, they might not do that. We'll see.
So due to popular demand, the supposed, or I should say community-acclaimed hardest boss in the game, Rodiafel, who is the Gruganim-style model boss that is in the Expert Caduceus Rise and Mastermind Caduceus Rise, this is the guy where, when you engage him, the entire area is engulfed in a wall of flame, and he has a phase where he goes underground, and you can't hit him while he's underground, and he burrows in a straight line, and then he'll randomly change direction, go in a straight line, change direction. And everywhere he goes, he leaves a trail of fire AoE behind him. In addition, while he's above ground, he spits an AoE around a random player. And you have maybe 2 seconds to get out of it. And it's a huge radius AoE. And if you don't get it out of it, you're probably not going to survive that hit. Which makes this guy extremely difficult on Master Mode difficulty, because he can spit out that massive ranged AoE even while he's underground, throwing out all the smaller AoEs as he's burrowing around the fighting area.
And so you forget about the circles around the people as well, or the players.
Yeah, plus you have to avoid other players, because there's a yellow bubble around you that you can cross the yellow bubbles, but you cannot stand in another player's yellow bubble. And the yellow bubble is a very large radius as well, so you have very little room to move to dodge all of the AoEs that happened during the Rodiafell encounter. And a lot of people felt that this was just way too hard to avoid these amounts of AoEs, specifically during the Master Mode. I believe I don't think he's bad at all in Expert Mode. I mean, we almost never wipe on him in Expert Mode unless we just have a terrible healer.
But even then, though, in Expert, he doesn't do the separate AoE while right. burrowed on Expert.
And that's what makes it so difficult. So they actually nerfed him, right, on the PTS currently, so yep. that he only burrows once. At 50% health, Rodiafell will go underground, and this is for both Master Mode and Expert Mode.
Yeah, I think we had talked about this. The one thing about this fight is that it has a little RNG or randomness to it, that, like, even no matter how geared you are, sometimes you get in a spot, you know, where literally you have no direction to go, because the boss is in front of you, or he's to the side of you. And the other three directions are either the firewall that he puts you in, you know, an AoE, or the path that he previously put, so you can't walk over it. So you pretty much just stand there and hope you don't die.
Well, I know that there are, I've heard some things about, like, the AoE only hits the person that's farthest away. I don't know if that's true. I never really actually fully figured out, like, exactly all of the mechanics, like, why he does all the mechanics that he does. I just know that there's a bunch of stuff that you have to avoid, and yeah, like, no matter what happens, I mean, it whether it's random or not, it always feels like there's a chance that you could just get sandwiched between two or three AoE effects, and you just don't really have anywhere to go. And if that happens to your tank or your healer, or all your DPS die to this or something, I don't think it means that you're bad. I think it just happens, you know what I mean? But it can mean several wipes on Master Mode before you get this guy down. So, I mean, did we need this then? Because I think we needed this. I don't know if this was the right answer to it, though.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. I think the whole thing was that, you know, like I said, there's randomness to it. And the more times he burrowed, obviously that increased the chances that someone would get stuck, like we just said. So I think that's what they did. They basically made it so he only burrows once. So that way, like, the chances of, you know, it might still happen, but probably won't. And he was burrowing so often. I think he would burrow two or three times, if I remember correctly. I'm messing with by default now. They only put it down to one. I think they could have done other changes, but, I mean, that's in a perfect world, and which we aren't in, obviously. So
well, it would have been much better if, I think, they just reduced the amount of time that he was underground. He only throws that giant AoE once. So if you reduce the amount of time that he's underground, there'll be a lot less of those smaller AoEs to have to avoid, you know what I mean? Which gives you more room to move, so it's less excusable if you actually do get hit by that massive AoE, because you've got somewhere to go.
Yeah, I think it was, like, multiple factors that made it like that, though, because, like I said, it's a randomness. It was also the small amount of room you had to move, not only because of the amount of AoEs in its path, but because you're engulfed in a wall that made the entire radius of the entire fight so small. That wall was extended even by the tiniest bit. That alone would have made the fight, like, infinitely easier.
So, speaking of making fights easier, they've done a couple of fairly significant hotfixes to Lathys. I believe one of the addictions that the GM for Addiction was posting on MMO Champion, saying that these changes had no effect, right? Under a certain percentage, was it the phase 3 of Lathys?
I don't know if he was saying that exactly. He was saying that they would have still killed him, regardless of this most recent hotfix. I think the first hotfix that they did, God, that must have been at least a week ago, maybe 10 days ago, that was a necessity. But the most recent one, which they did, I think, at the end of last week, was definitely not a necessity. They were slowly progressing him and getting him lower and lower because of two factors, which one we said, which was, one, getting more gear, which we said we definitely thought should have been required because it's a natural gating process. And the other one was just practice at the transitions. And they were slowly but surely getting him lower and lower and lower. And if they didn't do this most recent hotfix, they already had him at, like, I think 13%. He was confident, like, beyond belief that they would have definitely gotten down the next couple of days. And then the hotfix kind of just made it so they didn't really have to progress that last 13% or so. He was just dead.
I don't think that they over-nerfed Lathys, but I really wonder if they did this too soon. You know, a lot of people are saying that, you know, Lathys is still extremely difficult. The top-end guilds seem to agree that Lathys is still extremely difficult. So I'm not gonna cry, oh my god, they nerfed Lathys. Lathys is going to be cake now. Lathys is going to be a, you know, a loot pinata. I don't see it being like that. But I do wonder if maybe Trion was too quick to nerf Lathys. Because, you know, like we said in the last in one of our previous episodes, was that Lathys was a natural gate, and really, he just had to spend some more time getting gear and learning the fight for it, and everybody was just, I think, so used to downing bosses so quickly that Lathys felt like she was way harder than she really should be, when in reality, you just needed more gear to do it, and I think that that holds true. I think that the world first kill for Lathys kind of proved that, you know. Granted that those were after the nerfs, but like you were saying, they would have gotten her anyways. They were already making progress on her consistently, so it's just a matter of coordinating everything and learning the fight. But I mean, do you think that this is going to become a trend with Trion? Do you think that maybe they're, I feel like maybe they're kind of stuck, like they're not really sure which direction to go in, you know what I mean, where they don't want the players to get frustrated, which is commendable. Nobody wants to play a raid or do a raid that is frustrating. They want to do one that's challenging, but not one where they just want to, you know, plant their face in their keyboard every time that they wipe. Like, really?
I think that's definitely part of it. They definitely don't. They're almost stuck because they don't want to upset, I wouldn't say the casual player, but the people who are, like, middle of the road. But at the same time, they have to keep it extremely challenging for, like, the top-tier guilds. Which, the guild leader of Addiction, that posted on Champion, I wouldn't say he was mad at all, but he definitely didn't seem to be, like, extremely... He didn't think the most recent hotfix were very appealing. I'll at least say that. At least,
but he did, like, it wasn't really needed.
Yeah, he just thought that, like, because people were basically saying on the board, or the forums, I should say, that these hotfixes were absolutely necessary, and he pretty much shut that down immediately, saying that, like, you know, we upper guilds, you know, assuming they continue to got gear and continue to practice on the encounter as well, in particular the transition from phase to phase during the encounter, they would have definitely downed the boss. So it's definitely a hard balance. I mean, every other game goes through. I just hope that, I mean, the coming weeks is basically, at least from what my perspective, is going to be very telling. If they continue to nerf Lathys, I will say yes, they're going down that path. If they leave it how it is for an extended amount of time until, you know, 2 or 3 months from now, when, you know, they just want, you know, people to start downing it because they want more and more people to experience it, that's fine. But if they continue to be very trigger happy with these patches and these nerfs, then I'll be pretty upset, honestly.
You don't think trigger happy might sound a little harsh?
Well, they had the same problem with Hammernail, man. We went over this, that they nerfed Hammernail way too soon. So I'm not that surprised that they are nerfing. I mean, I think they put these initial hotfixes, especially the first one. The first one, from what I read, was pretty much a necessity because people were just it was impossible there were certain mechanics that would pretty much wipe the raid, and even with perfection across the board, it'd still wipe. But the most recent one basically told me that they took an encounter that was excruciatingly hard, but still possible to very hard, very challenging. But, you know, guilds that are above average and not quite upper echelon, you know, like Addiction and what Voodoo was, will be able to kill it. And I'm not sure how I feel about that yet, but if they continue to hotfix and continue to nerf it down, then, you know, that will basically be very telling in what direction they're going. If they don't, that also is very telling in what direction they're doing.
Well, the Maleforge egg fight was apparently fairly easy for a lot of these guilds to down, right? I don't know a lot of the details about the mechanics on this one, but they haven't nerfed it or anything, right? Like, this was just the initial fight out the gate, like, as soon as they released it. And at least two guilds, or was it three, have already defeated the Maleforge egg encounter.
I think it is three. Yeah, the video I watched, 16 people killed it. 4 people died and they still nerfed down. Everyone is saying this is dramatic. Like, it's not even just too easy, it's dramatically too easy. Like, it needs some serious tuning up as opposed to what Lathys got.
Wouldn't that be kind of a slap in the face if Maleforge himself was easier than Lathys?
I sure hope not. I hope he's like... See, that's the other thing. I hope that, you know, if they keep Lathys how it is, I hope Maleforge is just so stupid hard, it's just ridiculous. Cause, you know, he should essentially be how Killios was, a huge roadblock for a long time.
I agree. I think roadblocks are good. I mean, I think at some point, you know, like we've said before, you just have to farm the previous stuff that you've already got on farm, you know what I mean? The previous bosses. the non-dragon bosses before you can kill the dragons. I mean, they're the dragons. These are some of the biggest characters in the game. They should be difficult.
Couldn't agree more.
New dragon coming, right? Crucia, hopefully, soon. And it's looking like Crucia might actually be an expansion. This is going to be the bulk of our discussion here, and this is the bulk of a lot of people's discussion. So it's actually probably a good thing that we're not doing Summerfest this episode, I think, because this is definitely way bigger. I mean, this overshadows everything else. We've had several episodes where we've talked about expansions and little things that we think might be signaling an expansion. But I mean, Triumph might as well just come out and tell us that we're getting one at this point. There was a YouTube video, right? YouTube trailer for a Rift expansion, or we're assuming it's going to be an expansion called Storm Legion. And the video was only up for, what, like a few minutes or something like that? I think some forum users said that they were actually in the middle of watching the video, and then it went private, and they couldn't watch it anymore.
Yep, and that one guy got like 3 screenshots out of it. He must have been like frantically hitting print screen or something.
And in those 3 screenshots, one of them depicts a dragon, which we can only assume is Crucia. Looks like it'll be Crucia. And another one shows a revamped Rift logo that is subtitled Storm Legion. Storm Legion, as we know, that's Crucia's cult, a cult of air followers.
And that name was trademarked, I believe, yesterday, or at least in the last few days, by Tryon. Essentially just throwing a little log on the fire about the expansion rumors.
What's the big deal about it being trademarked?
Well, usually anytime any game, doesn't matter if it's Rift, it's, you know, WoW, it's Tor, if they trademark a name like this, it's usually almost always, like 99% of the time, in preparation of an expansion release.
Didn't they trademark like Ashes of History and like Carnival of the Ascended?
If they trademarked any of those names, which I am unaware of, we would have seen the same hype about those, and you would have seen the same hype in other games. I don't think we ever saw any hype because of World of Warcraft releasing a patch name. Or Tor releasing a patch name. The instant that Mist of Pandaria was trademarked, it was like all over the internet because it was, you know, the expansion. And that was like 4 months after Cataclysm was out.
I actually just punched it in just now, and Ashes of History isn't trademarked. So, yeah, and I found here's the trademark for Storm Legion. And we did see the revamped logo, which that pretty much gives it away right there. The question here is, right, like, obviously we're getting an expansion. I think everything's very obvious about this right now. We're definitely getting it. Is when are we going to see it? Because if this is Crucia, right, after Maleforge is dead, there's only 2 dragons left. We've said this so many times. Crucia and Regulus are going to be the only ones still alive. And we've got 6 months left to the year, right? Or 7 months left to the year.
Well, May's about to end. Like, June 1st is on Friday, so you might as well just say it's June.
Right, so, yeah, so we've got 7 months then. It's June 6th. So we've got 7 months left of the year. We know that Primeval Feast is coming at the end of July, so we've got 2 months until that. And then 2 months after Primeval Feast, we would probably, right about there, right about 2 or 3 months after that, we would be expecting our next 20-man raid, which everybody is perceiving to be Crucia. We agree with that. We've talked about this. We think Crucia is going to be after Primeval Feast. That's going to be October will be Crucia. So is October going to be the expansion?
It's possible. I mean, first of all, if you look at when 1.9 is coming out, that's really 3 months, honestly, because I believe 1.8 came out in the middle of April, and I think they're going to start doing this. They're going to start doing every 3 months instead of 2 months, because number one, they're testing their raids a hell of a lot more extensively than they used to, which is a good thing, number one. And number two, they're realizing it just takes more time, though a lot of that extra time could be because a huge portion of their team has been working on the expansion. We don't know the specifics, obviously. So, yeah. 3 months from July would be the tail end of October. I'm guessing that the expansion is going to be the tail end of the year. That could mean October. I mean, technically that is the tail end. But I wouldn't be surprised if it came out around December, because you're essentially going to wait, you know, a month and a half tops. And from what it looks like, you're going to get 2 raids in the expansion at once. Whether that's 2 20-mans, 1 20-man, 2 and
wait,
1 10-man.
We're going to get 2 raids when the expansion comes out? What brings you to that?
Something we're going to mention later about the box and with the PC Gamer.
That's right. Well, let's hit the box. Let's talk about the box right now. Because there was a puzzle box or like a box of clues that went out to PC Gamer. And the box contained 2 posters, right? One depicting the Palesti raid in World War II, and one depicting Stuart's Confederate cavalry raid, or raiding Pennsylvania during the Civil War. So two posters depicting raids. This is all over the forums. So if you read the forums and stuff, you read news sites, you've already heard all this, but we're going to go over this anyway. There was a liquid leveler, you know, the bar that you use to, like, set, you know, on a block of wood or on a pipe or something, make sure it's level. Had a sticker that marked the number 10 on the level, so we're thinking 10 levels. There were 4 soles of shoes, so 4 new shows, possibly possibly one for each calling, one new soul for each calling, 6 rusty keys on a key ring, and 1 giant golden one that was labeled Port Tempest. So we're thinking Port Tempest is this new city zone that could very possibly be in the sky, which goes right in line with Crucia and the whole theme of air. There was a felt bag containing 5 glass prisms, all of different sizes. In the PC Gamer article that outlines everything that they got in this box, they said that they did not fit together. They did try that, but that possibly this could mean that maybe Apothecary is going to see a little bit of love in this coming expansion. This is going to be something really big to use those inert prisms on, other than the flawless augments that we can currently make with them, which I think that's the only thing we can make with them right now.
What's funny is, if you remember, what was it, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about how they were there were 6 new zones that they had planned out, or at least rumored to be, and there's 6 keys in there, so that definitely helps that rumor.
Yep, so it looks like 10 more levels, 4 new souls, Port Tempest, new city, 6 new zones, new recipes for the glass prism, and there was also a red hooded cloak in this box too. So I wonder if we're going to see like guild cloaks or maybe just cloaks in general appear, which would be kind of funny considering that I believe Trion just recently came out and said that they weren't planning to do anything with cloaks because they didn't feel like it was going to be a good performance decision.
I think... if I remember correctly, and I could be quite wrong off base here, but I think they said that, like, say, yeah, it was definitely in the plans because of player demand, but it, like you said, they weren't sure how it would affect performance, so it was kind of something that was, like, up in the air. But I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they've been working on that for a while, so that's why, you know, they said that, and then they'll come out with the expansion, and by then they've worked out all the kinks with that. But back to what I was saying before we got into the box, I think that's why I wouldn't be surprised if the expansion was pushed to the very tail end of the year, like November, December. Because sure, like, you know, you might expect another raid like the end of October. I think the date on the whiteboard that everyone is, you know, taking all these dates from was like October, like, 25th or something. Might have been 18th, something like that. If you push the expansion to like November, December, and we get 2 raids at once, like a Regulus and a Crucia raid, are people going to really care that they had to wait an extra, you know, like 45 days for 2 raids?
Well, it's not just an extra 45 days. I mean, if they wait until November, December to put out the expansion, and the expansion has Crucia and Regulos each in their own 20-man raid, and we get 2 20-man raids right off the bat like that, I mean, that'll be cool, I guess. I don't know what they're going to do after that if we kill Crucia and Regulos, if we get them both in the same month or the same patch. But that'll mean that Infernal Dawn, which is the last 20-man that we'll have gotten before we see this expansion, Infernal Dawn will be 8 months old by the time that comes out. So it's not 45 days. It's more like 8 months.
Yeah, but then even if it came on October, it'd be like 6 months. So you're really only waiting like, you know, a month and a half longer than you would have. That's how I look at it.
I wouldn't mind the wait, but I mean, I'm not in there, you know. We're not in one of those guilds that is working on Maleforge or is working on Lathys right now. We're not in one of those guilds that is going to have Infernal Dawn cleared months before this expansion hits. You know, where we could go and see Infernal Dawn in, you know, July or August or September or whatever, yeah, and go through it then. And then a month later, we get the new expansion. So that'll be fine for us. I think it'll be fine for most players. I think most players are still spending enough time progressing the newest content that the wait isn't going to be too painful. What actually concerns me a bit more is, like, Primeval Feast is going to be out either the very beginning of August or the very end of July, because that's the tentative date for when the Summerfest world event is going to end. And, you know, we all know that the raids tend to follow the end of the world events. Primeval Feast, if it comes out beginning of August or end of July, it's only going to be 2 or 3 months old, you know, at that point before this next expansion comes out. So isn't that a little too soon?
Well, that's why I think that the extension will be pushed till end of November, possibly December. Hell, it might even be January. And, like, you know, we were talking off air before the show, like, the two raids, with the expansion won't necessarily be a Regulus and a Crucia. The Regulus could be, you know, down the road more, and they could launch Crucia as a 20-man and a 10-man to go along with it, essentially. That would make more sense, honestly, unless they intend to do what we've been talking about on and off for a number of episodes, about kind of just dedicating the game more to 20-mans and kind of, you know, no longer spending much time on 10-mans.
I don't know if they'll do Crucian Regulars at the same time. I mean, we've talked about what's going to happen after, and there's a lot of speculation about what could happen after we kill Regulos. There's a lot of stuff that makes sense with it, too, but it seems like it might be kind of quick to give us 2 dragons again, you know what I mean? Giving us Lathys and Maleforge at the same time made sense looking at the timing of when, you know, everything was released, where if they wanted to give us Regulus by the end of the year, they were going to have to do two dragons at once in order to have all the dragons dead by the end of 2012. So that made sense. But giving us Crucian and Regulus at the same time doesn't really fit into the scheduling. So if they're going to do that, if they do that, then they've got to already have this planned out for what they're going to do afterwards. And the Crucian Regulus raids, as far as lore and story goes, and what's happening in the world of Talara, is going to have to be kind of like the what's the word I'm looking for? The event that initializes the rest of the story, you know, that kind of starts everything over again for us.
Well, I think that with the expansion, you're going to probably see them turn the story and probably introduce some, you know, a new antagonist that, you know, will replace Regulus. That's how I look. Unless they intend on pushing Regulus so far back that it's kind of like the end of the first expansion. You know, like that's the last, but I don't see them pushing it that far. But, you know, they could, theoretically, if they continue to do this, like, forced gating that they're doing with Infernal Dawn, they could, like, release the Crucia Raid and do that. And, I mean, look at it now. Infernal Dawn, when is Malforge really, expected to be, like, you know, released? Like, next week or 2 weeks from now? So, let's say it was 2 weeks from now. You're looking at around 7 weeks, 8 weeks, maybe even 9 weeks from when ID came out until the last boss was released. So, you could release the Crucia Raid 9 weeks later, you know, all the bosses are out, and then you start the process on the second raid. I mean, there's so many possibilities. Though, in the end, I do think that the two raids will almost definitely wind up being Crucia and then some 10-man.
I don't think they're going to do that again. The community didn't react very well to the forced gating that was Infernal Dawns. I don't think it would be a good decision for Trion to do that kind of forced gating again.
Oh, I don't want it either. I don't know what they're going to do. I was just saying that's a possibility. Like I said, I think at the end of the day, it'll almost definitely be Crucia Raid, which is 20-man, and then some sort of 10-man. I think that would make the most sense. And then Regulus will come, you know, further down the road.
I agree. I think that would make the most sense. And if they have these two raids prepared, you know, if they have the Crucia and the Regulus raid prepared, then they could very easily release Crucia, you know, in, say, like, October, and then release Regulus in, like, December or, like, January 1st is, like, the, you know, or maybe, I don't know, maybe even closer
even longer
to the two-year. Yeah.
Because you'd have the 10-man. If you release that in October and we continue this like 3 month trend, then sometime in the middle of January would be, unless they release the 10-man simultaneously, but I guess they could do that.
You know, if they release Crucia as a 20-man and then they release a 10-man simultaneously, I wonder if they're gonna do like what we were talking about, right? With the whole 10 and 20-man rating. I wonder if they're gonna start releasing 10 and 20s simultaneously instead of making us wait extra long, so that way if you're a 20-man raider and you primarily focus on the 20-mans, then you're seeing a new raid every 2 or 3 months instead of seeing a 20-man and then 2 or 3 months later you get the 10 and then 3 months later you get your next 20. So it's 6 months in between 20s.
Well, I think they might, essentially it might be the same scenario where you don't wait, but I think they might, like what I just said, is that it might be 2 20-mans and they kind of eradicate slivers, because I think they like slivers, but I think they realize that, you know, there's more want and need and for 20 man. So if they were to release purely 20 mans, first of all, they would have far less development time, you know, because you'd be constantly on 20 mans. You wouldn't have to dedicate separate teams to 10 mans. You'd be able to pump them out faster. Therefore, the community is, you know, God, the release schedule already is pretty ridiculous. Can you imagine what the release schedule was like if they only did 20 mans? That'd be insane.
Yeah, but if they could keep up with the content, right, and they released 10 and 20 simultaneously, that would still be insane. And you'd be getting twice the amount of content. And
well,
hitting two groups of types of players.
Or you just make all raids 10 and 20 man accessible. I'm
not getting into that again with you.
Like I said, so many at the very beginning of this entire conversation about the expansion, there's so many possibilities. It's kind of mind boggling, honestly.
Well, another one of my concerns is how are new players going to gear up, right? As soon as this comes out, if we're right about all this, which I really don't see how people can be wrong about all the speculation that we've had with the box of clues and the trailer that came out and the trademarking of Storm Legion. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. I think it's unofficial, but I think it's close enough to being officially confirmed that we're getting this. And I don't see any other way to interpret these clues that PC Gamer got. So if we get our 10 level cap increase, right, when the expansion comes out, all the previous raids and their respective weeklies are going to be obsolete. All of the previous 5-mans, all the master modes are going to all be obsolete. Everything that we have right now is going to be obsolete because that's all going to be level 50 content and everybody's going to be level 60. So is this going to be like a like what we saw with like World of Warcraft expansions, where all of your greens that you're getting from quests become like better than your epics and relics. Like, I'm really curious how they're going to do this.
Well, I would think so. I mean, I think the biggest appeal to an expansion as for a gaming development company is wiping the slate clean and starting over, you know, especially for newer players. Like, you know how many people I see post on Reddit and MMO Champion, the official forums, that they either played originally and then they played Tor, they played some other MMO, and they're coming back, or they were going to play, but then Tor came out or something, you know, or it was Terra, and they never got to try, but now they're coming back and it's daunting to catch up. If you wipe the slate clean, like, people will be so, you know, reinvigorated essentially to like try, and they'd be like, hey, I'm on the even playing field now with everyone else, so I could play again. A lot of people were even saying that when they start releasing this expansion, they should really start like putting a lot of money into advertising again, because you could wind up, you know, catching a huge cluster of players with this.
Oh, definitely. I mean, once you say expansion, I mean, that is just a powerful marketing word. That's just such an amazing power word, you know, for getting attention for your game, is once the expansion comes out, because everybody expects these sweeping changes and just tons of brand new content. Just, it's like re-releasing your game over again.
Exactly. I think what you said earlier, though, is my really, like, only big concern, is how hardcore people are going to be affected. And not even so much that their stuff is going to be invalidated, because, you know, I went through that with, you know, with WoW, when, like, Wrath of the Lich King came out. It was fine, because I was, like, so stoked about what was ahead. I didn't really care so much that my previous gear was, you know, essentially obsolete. It's more or less like, you know, when they release the game, you know, or the expansion, I should say, you know, if it's released too late, they're going to get bored, because they're going to have current content at farm far earlier than most players, so they're just going to be sitting around. And as it is now, they already have all the other activities besides raiding are pretty much like useless to them, because they, you know, a far out gear everything, so they pretty much currently all they do is raid, you know, log on, raid, log off. And if you remove that aspect, or that, you know, drive the player to do the rating, well, why are they logging on, period?
Well, they'd be logging on to level, wouldn't they, right? All the new content, because hopefully there's going to be new five, there's going to have to be new five mans, you know, maybe even like a new dungeon tier or something, so they're going to have to like start their gear, their great gear grind all over again. So
I don't mean, you know, right when the expansion comes out. I think that they will be reinvigorated when the expansion comes out, but there's going to be a lull, like every other game goes through, before it comes out. And, you know, as much as you can have confidence that people are going to come back because of an expansion, you know, that's never guaranteed. You're never going to get 100% of the players back. Some people are just going to say, okay, on to the next game.
Yeah, it always was like Orgrimmar in World of Warcraft right before an expansion just becomes a ghost town. You know, and you have to think, now that you brought it up, I mean, it is kind of concerning me, because speculation, we don't know exactly how many subscribers Rift has, but the speculation has always hovered right around the 250,000 to 300,000 mark for active subscribers. There's, you know, some logic to how people have come up with that number, but there's no official source whatsoever to confirm if that's actually true. And just for the record, 250,000 to 300,000 subscribers, plenty more than enough for an MMO to be successful. Trion's obviously making money from it. They're obviously making profit. They're coming out with a massive expansion. I don't need my game to have a million players, because out of the 250,000 to 300,000 people that are playing right now, I'm interacting with maybe 100 of them. So I really don't care. But considering that, you know, obviously you have to sustain a sizable subscription base in order to fund a game such as Rift, it does worry me a little bit, now that you bring it up, that the lull, once they do actually officially announce the expansion, I mean, do you think that this is going to possibly have a bigger effect on Rift than it did on, like, World of Warcraft? I mean, you know, before an expansion, if 2 million people canceled their subscriptions because they were pretty much done raiding, they're like, well, why, you know, we beat the content, why bother farming it? All our gear is going to get replaced in, you know, 3 months or 6 months when the expansion comes out anyways, so why bother continue paying for stuff that's going to become obsolete, right? 2 million people think that in World of Warcraft, they've still got 8 million active subscribers. If 200,000 people in Rift think like that and cancel their subs while waiting for the expansion, it's going to leave 50,000 people playing.
Well, like in all MMOs, the raiding population is so, you know, small, and especially the, you know, the people that are like voodoo and addiction, they're like, God, there must be like less than 10,000 people. Most people, like you said, are in our group where they'll probably wind up raiding, you know, and doing Malforge and killing him closer to the end of July and closer to August, so the wait won't be nearly as long. so they won't leave, because they'll be almost like, you know, constantly entertained. They won't get to the point where there's nothing to do and they have to wait 5 months, wait 6 months. They'll be like, oh, I just killed, you know, Mailforge like a month ago and there's the expansion or something to that effect, you know?
Well, yeah, but I think that the hardcore raiders are the ones that have it in their heads that, like, you know, killing, having a Mailforge kill under your belt is prideful. I think for a lot of the majority of players, it's not as much about, you know, having the bragging rights that you've killed Lathus or you've killed Mailforge or you've killed Achilleos or Greenscale or whatever. It's about, I've killed these guys enough times that I am in Infernal Dawn gear. Look at me. My gear is badass. You know what I mean? And that gear isn't worth anything to somebody if an expansion's coming out.
Well, I mean, every game goes through that. There's really no way of completely preventing it. The only thing you can do, if I was Tryon, I would make the expansion announcement as late as possible. I think that WoW would always release or announce their expansion details far too soon. I think Cataclysm, they announced it in like June, game then called December. Though I think actually Cataclysm was better than they ever did. Wrath was even worse. Wrath and BC, they announced like over a year before it came out because they kept delaying it. But you announce it as late as possible and you make the expansion look as intriguing as humanly possible. So that even if people leave, they are like, you know, chomping at the bit that even though they're leaving the game, they want to get back the instant that expansion drops.
It's definitely going to be a really sensitive timing thing. I agree. I think that they should wait to announce it. They're probably really excited about this trailer. You know, Hartsman did post on the Twitter. He said this trailer is going to kick ass. I'm sure it's going to be a great trailer. But yeah, like you said, if you release that trailer too soon, we know about it. Not enough people have seen it yet. We don't know exactly what it is. I mean, I don't see how it's not an expansion, right? I think a lot of people can agree with that. But we don't have the official word yet, so they really do. I think that I agree they need to hold off on that official word for as long as they can, you know, because you still need marketing time for it. But hold off on it as long as you can so that we don't deter people from going anywhere too soon. I'm really curious, though, what's going to happen with, like, the five-man stuff, because, you know, we're talking about how many people are actually raiding and how many people are going to get to see Lathus and Mailforge before, like, the expansion comes out and actually get a kill, how many people are going to be able to, like, clear Primeval Feast before the expansion comes out. And these kind of people that aren't, that are like us, that aren't up, you know, in this content just yet, are the people that are doing Master Modes and Five-Mans and PvP and doing some of the more casual things, some of the more things that are less reliant on having a schedule and coordinating with, you know, 20 other people. So what's going to happen to all our Five-Mans? I mean, we tested a Master Mode Deep Strike Mines months ago, like forever ago, so I guess we're never going to see that. We're never going to see Master Mode Deep Strike Mines or a Master Mode Iron Tombs, because those are going to be level 50 dungeons. That disappoints me a bit.
I think that, like, Master Modes, or anything that's already, like, lower level, they haven't used, you know, as a master mode, they can just bump the level up. But they're going to have to make fresh instances for the, you know, regular ones at, you know, let's say it's level 60, because we assume it's going to be a 10-level increase. And they're going to probably have to make entirely new experts. The master modes, because of, you know, the uncertainty of when they come out, how frequently they come out, how many come out when they do release them, they can honestly, the only ones that I foresee not being able to be reused are the two that are already in the game, which is Caduceus Rise and Deepstrike. I think anything else, whether it's a new one that comes out with the expansion or anything currently in the game that hasn't been converted to a master mode, is completely up for grabs.
I mean, yeah, kind of. But do you really, at level 60, want to see friggin' Iron Tombs again? How many times have you seen that place? Or Chalmers Caldera, or Caduceus Rise. Do you really want to hit level 60 and see that again on a new mode? Because I don't. I want to see the new ones.
Well, I do too, but I wouldn't mind a master mode. I mean, we're not talking about expert here, where it's like trivial and it's dull. The whole point of the master mode that I find so intriguing is that you go in there and you're like, wow, like this is so much different. You know, it really just depends how much they put into it. If they simply go, okay, here's Iron Tomb. Every boss hits 20% harder and has one new mechanic. I'm gonna be like, okay, I'm gonna go throw up now. If they actually add some, like, you know, extra bosses and the encounters are flat out intriguing, I don't care what the wall or the environment looks like. It's a good instance, period. And I hate Iron Tomb, so that's a really bad example.
Okay, fine. Realm of the Fae.
I hate that place even more. What are we talking about?
Okay, what place do you like, Joe?
Deepstrike Mines is cool. Abyss of Precipice is cool. Actually, I like Caduceus Rise Deep and Darkening Deeps, as funny as it is. But, you know, those obviously aren't possible anymore. I'm trying to think. Rook Descent isn't bad.
King's Breach?
Oh, God. If they made a Master Mode King's Breach, I'd die happy.
Yeah, I'd really like to see a harder version of that boss at the end. But again, if I'm level 60, I mean, sure, it might be fun to see, you know, tweaks. You can only do so much to the currently existing 5-man content to make it a Master Mode. And they're only going to add one, maybe two bosses to a Master Mode version of it. It's not going to be something so new, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I think it also depends, like, how many, you know, if they come out one at a time and it's all hype, like, oh, here's Iron Tomb Master Mode. I'll be like, wow, that's not bad, but it's not great. But if they wind up, like, doing them in waves, like, here's three, and two of them are the new 16s and one is Runic Descent, that'd be awesome.
We could go on and on and on and on speculating about expansion stuff all we want. But as far as what we have, I mean, we know, or at least 90% certain, going to see 10 level increase, level cap when this comes out. Going to see at least 6 new zones. Going to have a new city, Port Tempest. Going to have, let's see, what else do we have on here? The Inert Prisms could see some new activities, so some new recipes possibly for, like, Apothecary. Maybe for somebody. I hope it's for Apothecary, because
yeah,
Apothecary
that's the one
sucks.
Thing. That's probably the only cool that they really haven't figured out. But yeah, Apothecary does suck.
possibly Cloaks. Oh, hey, you know what? Let's talk about this real quick before we go, because 4 new souls, right? If they do this, I don't know how I feel about this. I think I would have rather have seen a calling. And I want to know what you think about this, too. We did talk about this a little bit off air, but I think that it would be infinitely easier to balance the addition of a single calling that has 8 new souls to it, as opposed to introducing 1 new soul to each of the 4 existing callings, because that essentially means that you're probably going to have to rebalance all 8 souls, and God knows how many combinations, because that 1 soul introduces so many combinations for that calling.
I don't know. I mean, as much as I want to say that, I almost feel like they have like a template, essentially, like how they make all the souls now. You know, like this type of ability goes this far into the tree. This type of ability goes this far into the tree. And all they really have to do is basically, like, determine, you know, what type of damage the ability does, if it's melee or if it's range, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's simpler than we think it is. But as far as what I would want, I think I'd actually rather a calling, just because it'd be, like, completely fresh. All 8 souls would be completely fresh, and especially if it was a cool call. Calling, I'd be intrigued to play it. I think the only reason they're doing this over and doing an entirely new calling, and people could say they think that's definitely not the reason, but I think it's mainly because they don't want, in most other games, when they have an expansion, it's like, here's your new class, and that's like the flavor of the month. And when I say flavor of the month, I mean flavor of like 6 months. Because it's like, when WoW Death Knights came out, it's all you saw is Death Knights. When Mr. Pandaria came out, all you're going to see is monks. And I think that they didn't want that, and they also wanted the current ones not to feel like old and dated. So they're like, here's your new soul, so you can experiment and like feel, you know, like rejuvenated, essentially. You don't feel like, oh, mine's old and there's a new calling out or something like that, you know. I think that's the biggest motivation behind this. They really want the current players not to feel like, oh, I have to go reroll. They're gonna be like, oh, look, I have a new soul to play with. That, you know, and like you said, that's so many infinite possibilities when you mix it and match it with so many, you know, the other 8 souls already in the game.
What do you think it's gonna have for an effect on like what do you think these souls are gonna be? You know what I mean? For example, look at the cleric. Okay, the cleric can fill the healer role, tank role, support role, or DPS. They can even do melee or caster DPS. Right? They can do physical or elemental damage. So, 1 new soul, what is it going to be? Is it going to be a melee soul? Is it going to be a DPS soul or a healing soul? And if it's a DPS soul, then how is it going to help a Justicar? Or how is it going to help a Warden? You know what I mean?
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, Cleric is hard because they really can do everything, like you said. I think the other souls are easier to determine because I think they're basically just going to put in what everyone's missing. I think that eventually they do want every class to fill pretty much every role, though. I don't know if they'll ever put in, like, a warrior that can fully heal. You know, if warrior support's fine, but that'd be kind of weird, healing with power. But I think Cleric's the hardest one to guess. I wouldn't be surprised if they put another tank soul. Same thing with the rogue.
You know, you mentioned warrior healing. I'm going to stop you because you mentioned warrior healing, and that just kind of made me think, I wonder if each of these new souls is going to add another role.
Well, that's what you mean, like a whole new role, or each calling is going to be able to fill a new role?
Each calling be able to fill a new role, such as the warrior will be able to fill like a support or a
yeah,
support heal or a
that's
full
what
heal
I think,
role.
Yeah. That's why I said the cleric one is the hardest, because I think that they'll probably make rogues able to fully heal. They'll probably make warriors at least fill support. They'll make mages
able to tank.
Yeah, and I think that cleric's the hardest one to guess because they already can do all of them. So they'll probably just add another tank soul, like give more variety or something like that.
If they make mages able to tank, it better be through a shape-shifting soul. That's all I have to say.
I really hope that, you know, whatever they add, you know, like whether it's like mage tank or warrior support, it's like unique into themselves. Meaning, like if they make like a mage tank, I really hope it's not just like, okay, I'm wearing cloth, but I equip a shield and a sword. I hope it's like, wow, I use my tank, my pet, the tank, or something like that. Or like you said, like you shapeshift. You know, it's something that makes sense with its own class. It's not like, oh, you tank now? Okay, here's a sword, here's a shield, have fun.
I always thought that pet tanking was an interesting concept. Everybody thought that Death Knights were going to be a pet tank when they came out,
yeah.
First came out and stuff, and they didn't work out like that, but they were a two-handed, you know, two-handed tank. I've always liked that concept, except there's one trick that you, I don't think there's any real good way to get past it, is being able to position stuff with a pet tank, you know what I mean? Because your control over your pet just isn't, it's not very good for as far as like where your pet is standing. That would just be clumsy and just aggravating to deal
with,
I think.
They'd have to add, you know, something to, whether it's like a target radius, you know, you can like click where you want to move your pet and whatnot, and you'd probably never be able to be like a main tank in a raid. You'd probably at best be able to be an off tank, which honestly isn't that bad. That'd be cool if you could at least off tank with it. I think warrior support is fine. Rogue full healing, I'm kind of like, wow, are they really going to do that? Like, that'd be weird. Because, again, you have, like, an energy bar. How are you going to do that? Well,
people have wanted bards to be able to full heal forever.
Yeah, but then what are they going to do? Bulk up bard? And then, like, you know, why add a whole other soul that could full heal when you can essentially just buff up bard?
Well, we were talking about the changes to rogue energy and that bard might need a new niche to fill. Because, you know, if they don't... The buffs that they're providing for, like, energy and stuff isn't a big deal, then all they're really doing is increasing, like, attack power, spell power, and doing some very minor healing. So they're going to need something else. Maybe they're going to rework Bard and introduce a healing soul.
Yep, or they could just make Bard the healing soul, like, buff it up so it's more useful, and then make just another DPS soul. Like, you know, there's so many options. I think warrior support is, like so... I think that should have been in the game already, honestly. Like, I don't think warriors should ever be able to full heal, because I think that's just weird. But, I think they definitely should be able to be support. And, God, if they ever do a shapeshifter, and it's interesting, it's fun to play, I'm playing it.
I'm re-rolling.
I'm playing, I'm sorry.
I'm playing it.
You can tank, I'll DPS, okay?
No, I'm going to DPS as a shapeshifter.
All right, fine, I'll tank.
Yeah, right.
What?
You're going to be like, I miss my ranger.
I honestly can say that I enjoy DPSing immensely. Biggest thing for me in this game is that I never... absolutely adored one of the tank souls or any of the callings. I always thought they were good. I always thought they were great, and that's what made me DPS. So if there was a tank soul that I absolutely loved, as I did in previous games, I'd probably have just as much fun with that, if not more, than I did with the ranger.
That just about wraps up our speculation for the expansion. Episode 14 was recorded on Wednesday, and Tryon did officially announce Rift's expansion, Storm Legion, on Thursday. The trailer is up on YouTube. It is also on the Overcast blog site at riftovercast.blogspot.com. So be sure to watch that, and you can find out more information about the expansion by visiting the official expansion website, www.stormlegion.com. More hardworking community members have started some great new projects. We'd like to give a shout-out to Juno, who is currently doing an awesome job hosting her new podcast, Rift Shinies, which takes a different approach to podcasts and Rift news. Be sure to check out riftshinies.podbean.com for the latest briefing on Rift news and for some truly excellent storytelling. Learn more about the world of Talara. We'd also like to thank Cupcakes over at riftnerd.com for her support of the show and the community. Rift Nerd is an excellent and professional news source for Rift news, and they are currently building an extensive database for soul builds, loot tables, and more. We're still looking for those interested in streaming content for the Overcast Twitch.tv channel. If you're interested, please send us your PC specs, what you'd like to stream, and your availability. You can subscribe to Overcast on iTunes via the iTunes Store or using the link on our blog at riftovercast.blogspot.com. Also, subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/riftovercast, on Facebook, facebook.com/riftovercast, and on Twitter, at riftovercast. Overcast is recorded every Wednesday night and airs every Friday each week. And as always, we want to hear your opinions on both the game and the show. So be sure to leave us a comment below, and we will see you next week.
Hello, welcome back to Rift.
My name is Joe.
My name is Joe.
And with me, as always,
Joe.
Really?
How did I do that? What the fuck?